Blog Talk Radio.
Better grab everything I can. You're gonna want to see this. This is gonna be good.
Francis!
What?
Grabbing pills. Grabbing pills.
I am so dancing.
Grabbing pills.
I'm bouncing in my pills here.
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah!
Grabbing pills. Peel, peel, peel.
Nice.
And this is why we do not have video during our podcast. Yeah, that'd be a good thing. First thing in the morning? No. Y'all are lucky if I'm out of my pajamas.
I'm not out of mine, I'll tell you now. Actually, this is not really pajamas. This is just, it's freaking hot. And I got on my black wife beater. My pinky bottoms. How about that?
Very nice. That's hot. I'm going to need
pictures. Hello. Hello.
Everybody gets up their pictures. No.
Hello.
Share them with anybody.
No. Yes, that's all I need. Once upon a time, I remember we were going down to the Fox station. We took pictures of ourselves in front of my house, and I went through and photoshopped out everything in the background. It was a blur. So nobody, I was like, I don't need anybody trying to match. Okay, that looks like the house right there. The only thing I got going for me now is on Google Maps, Google Earth, my house that they have a picture of is my house doesn't look like that anymore. So that'll be confusing. Trying to stalk me. If you're trying to stalk me, you'd be like, that don't look right.
No, good luck with that.
Wasn't that green? Wasn't there a tree right there? This is not the right house. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. God bless remodeling and The Sims, because that's what I use. We're going to put this here. See?
And The Sims.
And speaking of Sims, may I, Ginger?
May I?
Well, EA wants more of our money, people.
More
of our money. They want it.
Oh, yes,
they already just released, you guys know, they just released Generations, their expansion pack. Now they have another, what they call stuff pack, which is a smaller pack, coming out called Sims 3 Town Life. Mm-hmm. Now, normally I would be like, I am not buying this. This is too soon. But it's got building stuff in it. I like to build stuff.
She does too, because you have no idea. No idea. The fascinators? Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. I got to put those up. I got three more to make. Okay, so anyway, you can build new venues like a library, a high-tech gym, a sunny bungalow playground, or a state-of-the-art laundromat, if that's your thing. I don't do laundromats. You can update your neighborhood and your Sims style with items and venues for their house and their town. So The Sims Studio, they've changed their names. Yes, it's no longer, you know, EA Maxis Campus, whatever. They're announcing The Sims 3 Town Life stuff pack designed for you to update your neighborhood and spend the day around town will be available July 26th. That's right. You got till July 26th to save up your $20 because you know that's how much it costs. It says, does your Sim love books? You can build them a library where they can mix and mingle with their neighbors, but remember to keep it down. Or add one of the new retro library sets to their home. If your Sim prefers to pump iron, then build them a high-tech gym with treadmills, weight machines, and more. For those Sims who are family-oriented, you can create new playgrounds filled with sandbox, treehouse, and other fun items. Ah, yes. July the 26th, I'll be spending my $20. I hate to say it. I hate you, EA. I'll have some screenshots there for you other fellow builders out there in a short moment, along with their new logo for some Sims Town Life. I'm mad now. They could have just given me this stuff in the other one. You know what
I could have, but they're not going to. They're going to do it separately, so you have to pay more.
Ah, no. I'm going to tell you guys out there, those of you who have family members that are Sim addicts like I do, see, remember that chick I was telling you about yesterday, silk dress? Yeah, she and I have figured out a way around this. I'm going to share it with you on the air because it is not illegal. We split the cost, and then we install. You can install on more than one computer, and it does not say it has to be your own computer. You can install up to five, if it's a digital copy, five different PCs, so we split the cost so it belongs to both of us legally, and then we buy it and we share. Thank you very much, EA. You didn't say it was illegal.
No, they didn't, but now that you've announced it, they probably will.
Yeah, they probably will. You always think they're not listening, and then later on we'll get a cease and desist. You need to remove that podcast. You need to leak out that whole part. I think not. Let's bring it. Hey, go ahead.
No. How about no?
Go ahead, bring it. Tell you what, we'll take it down. We get a box of games to review from you. We need Battlefield 3.
Mm-hmm.
A copy for each platform, please. And then we'll discuss whether or not we, alter this podcast to remove that little bit of information.
Very nice. Very nice.
That was my attempt at evil laughter. I'm losing my voice, so it didn't.
Yeah, you don't need evil laughter. We all know you're evil.
Thank you. Thank you. I do try. Oh, wait a minute. I got to say good morning. No. You know, Molly Pop wants to know if the Sims downloads have additional achievements. They're not saying. They gave us a very short. That what we just told you is pretty much all they told us. You know, EA is very secretive about what they share. So you won't know anything until you actually get the pack. That I do like about them. There's, you know, you get to be surprised, but I don't really pay attention to the achievements. I just build. I don't think I have a single achievement. My Sims haven't gotten a travel passport or any of that stuff that they put in the game. I think I just noticed there was a travel passport just a few weeks ago. I was like, hey, what's this? This is new. Yeah, they, I don't know. They haven't told us anything. I got screenshots and I got what I told you. Mm-hmm. I'll harass them, though. She just told me now they're going to charge double. Thanks a lot. They're already charging double. No, actually, they're not. Actually, the Sims games have remained the same price they have since, I think, since they started making them. Probably it increased by $10. Again, I will give EA credit for that. The rest of these bitches, the Microsofts and the Sonys, their games have doubled in price since we started doing Gaminatrix. There's a time when games were $39.99, and they are now $69, between $59 and $69.
Ouch.
That is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It is. That's why we just, yeah. Some games I just don't buy. I have to love it to buy it. It has to be a GTA. It has to be an L.A. Noir.
Yes. Yes.
You
yes.
Stop it. Stop it. I hear it in your voice. You stop it. You stop it.
What are you talking about?
So what you got, Ginger May?
You may want to get rid of this podcast afterwards. I got the big balls.
She was dying to say that. That's just wrong.
I so was. The big balls are back in Wipeout in the zone. Available today on Kinect for the Xbox 360.
No, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No controller necessary for this crazy fun family game. Oh, wow. All right, so Activision Publishing and ABC are proud to announce that Wipeout in the Zone is now available on Kinect for the Xbox 360. Just in time for the summer season of ABC's hit show Wipeout in the Zone brings the same hard-hitting... Oh, I'm going to sneeze. No.
The same hard-hitting, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, it'll sneak it up on me. All right, so... Alright, so Wipeout in the Zone brings the same hard-hitting fun into living rooms across America as only Kinect for the Xbox 360 can. Wipeout in the Zone offers brand new courses that are even more extreme than before. Tons of new obstacles, including the Kinect-optimized punching copycat pose boards and power pumps, plus old favorites like Big Balls and Sucker Punch, will test players' limits in crazy and zany ways. Sure, the goal may be to complete the course, but the best part will always be the over-the-top, mind-blowing Wipeout. Up to 4 players can participate in the fun for the whole family party mode, complete with instant replays and close-ups of the best wipeouts. When not running the course, players can wreak havoc on the participating contestant by hurling paintballs from the sideline. That sounds like fun. Players have the ability to import and play as their own Xbox Live Online Entertainment Network avatars or as one of the pre-designed ones. Hilarious commentary throughout the game is provided by the always entertaining Wipeout host John Anderson, John Henson, and Jill Wagner. Nicole Armstrong of Activision Publishing says, after the success of the first Wipeout title, we are more than thrilled to be bringing another Wipeout video game to the interactive world, and this time exclusively for the Kinect. Wipeout in the Zone utilizes technological advances in gaming to break down the living room walls, put gamers in a truly authentic recreation of thrilling television. Wipeout in the Zone on Kinect for the Xbox 360 is available now for the MSRP of $49.99. This game is rated E10+ for everyone 10 and older by the ESRB. Wipeout returns for a new summer season this summer on ABC Thursday at 8, 7 Central. For more information, you can visit Activision.com. And I've got some screenshots up and maybe even a trailer over on Gaminatrix. So go check that out.
Yes, that's singing. That deserves singing. All right. Well, I just got some interesting news from across the pond. You developer types will like this. Mm-hmm. Try not to drool when I tell you. They're saying the Epic Developer Day and Unreal University are coming to Europe. Mm-hmm. And the cost for this, to visit this particular little event? Free. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Free.
This is for anyone who's currently working with Unreal Engine 3 or the Unreal Development Kit UDK, the free edition of Epic's award-winning tool set and technology, which I need to get. Like, I don't have enough to do.
Free.
Yes, it's free. The first events of their, these will be the first events of their kind in Europe. Wow, that was an ex-boyfriend's name. In Europe. Wow, my head hurts now. Wow. Okay, so this is the first event of their kind in Europe. Epic Developer Day and Unreal University provide Unreal Engine 3 developers with free hands-on learning experiences led by senior members of Epic's Engine team and vetted UE3 instructors. The first day of the event, Epic Developer Day, is open to anyone under Epic's non-disclosure agreement for commercial Unreal 3 evaluation and or full license. Sessions covering a range of topics will be presented with time set aside for Q&A and troubleshooting tips. Epic is happy to sign NDAs prior to the event. Any interested parties, of course, may contact the European Territory Manager, Mike Gamble, who's at Epic Games with inquiries. Yes, I will post his email. They want you to have it. Do not harass him, please, people. All right, and the second day, of course, presents Unreal University, a new academic initiative launched by Epic to offer professional hands-on guidance to those interested in UDK. Session talks include getting started with UDK, level design, best practices, mobile game development tips and tricks, and more. The full program schedules for both days and bios for instructions will soon be announced. And, of course, we have a link up for you here in about 20 seconds where you can go and sign up. Again, these are going to take place July 13th and 14th. And I wish we could go. I have been dying to delve into messing with Unreal 3 again. It's been some time since I've touched the lovely little engine. It is a nice one, I must say. But, you know, honestly, if you've seen one engine, you've seen them all. If you're sitting there saying, oh, because we have some Second Life people. Some of you out there, I know, from Second Life, listen to us now. If you can mess with Second Life, you pretty much know what to do when you get an Unreal. It's the same thing. Unreal is just a little bit more advanced, but you'll understand the arrows. When I'm saying this, Ginger's going to nod. The up, down, arrows, the blue, the yellow, the green.
Yeah.
All the same.
Oh, that's not so bad. That wouldn't be hard.
No, the hard part is you don't have the sky and stuff created for you. So that it was difficult for me, making the sky and whatnot. But it was fun.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right, damn it. You guys in the UK, go and tell us how it was. We want to know.
Yes, yes, yes. We want to know. And send us cookies.
Okay, cookies. You send them to Ginger.
Dude, send them to me. I don't care. All right, so I've got some news this morning. I'm not sure what to think about this yet. Gamers First acquires Fallen Earth. And you know we love us some Fallen Earth, so this is kind of, I don't know. Fallen Earth team joins Reloaded Productions to support continued development of post-apocalyptic MMO. A leading publisher of free-to-play massively multiplayer online games, Gamers First announced today the acquisition of the highly acclaimed post-apocalyptic third-person action MMO Fallen Earth from Fallen Earth LLC. The current 12-person creative team behind Fallen Earth, headed by the lead game designer Marie Arose-Crawl, will join Gamers First Development Studio Reloaded Productions to lead the transition of Fallen Earth to a hybrid free-to-play game with an ongoing membership system. Going forward, Gamers First will provide all publishing services, back-end development and technical operations, while Crawl's team will continue their work on the upcoming Alpha County expansion. Mary Crawl, or is it Marie? Marie Crawl.
She's going to cut us.
I know she's going to cut us. I'm sorry, Marie. My bad. You've been over here, too. You're so awesome. I love you. Please don't cut me. Lead designer of Reloaded Productions says, when talks began with Gamers First, we were hoping to find a way to continue supporting our dystopian Wastelanders who roam our truly unique MMO. And it's awesome. If y'all haven't played it, go play it. By joining the Reloaded production team and becoming part of the Gamers First family, we can now continue delivering an uncompromising game experience for our diehard fans. Even better, the backing of an established global publisher also means we will share our game with millions of new players across the planet. Yay! Just no gold sellers, okay? I think it's chip sellers in that game. It's all about the red chips. The Fallen Earth team is joined by Gamers First veterans Tracy Spate, executive designer, and Joseph Willman, associate game director, to integrate the award-winning MMO into the broader Gamers First universe. Oh, good God, I cannot talk this morning.
I don't know if I like the sound of this.
No. Spate and Willman bring years of free-to-play publishing and development expertise to an already stellar Fallen Earth crew. Once transitioned to free-to-play, Fallen Earth will give free players completely unrestricted permanent access to every zone and instance in the game. Several types of services, items, and conveniences will continue being sold in the Fallen Earth store. Subscriptions will be replaced by a tiered membership system that caters to players of all levels of engagement, and each membership will include reward points that can be used to obtain store items for free on a monthly basis. I don't know. Current subscribers who maintain their subscriptions through the estimated 5-month transition period will collect significant rewards when the game completes the transition, projected for the fourth quarter of this year. Veteran rewards will include lifetime upgrades to a premium tier membership for the price of an existing subscription, as well as unique veteran-only items, the value of which will be determined by the number of months the player subscribed between June 2011 and the completion of the transition. Anyone who played Fallen Earth knows just how rich and engaging its game world is, and it really is. And we feel extremely lucky to bring this game into our family of free MMO games. This is coming from Joe Rush, Vice President of Games Operations for Gamers First. This acquisition gives Fallen Earth instant economies of scale. As part of the Gamers First family. I don't know what's going on this morning. Oh, I was on the ball this morning. Now I can't talk. And by sharing our many years of revenue generation, strategies, and publishing expertise, we expect the Fallen Earth franchise to continue growing for years to come. There's a whole bunch more quotes. I'm just going to go into Fallen Earth is a post-apocalyptic MMO set near the Grand Canyon in 2156, a hybrid first-person shooter and role-playing game. Fallen Earth features real-time Twitch-based combat, 6 factions, a classless advancement system, and a powerful crafting system in which players can make 95% of in-game items. With 1,000 square kilometers of territory to explore, Fallen Earth players can experience an unparalleled game world while completing more than 5,500 game missions, including the ability to capture towns and territory. I love this game. I really do. I'm a little bit worried about this. I'm hoping it won't ruin it.
I'm worried that it's going to ruin the atmosphere because it is an adult game. And if it's free to play, that means they're going to have to take some things out. Some things are going to have to be curbed. I mean, think about the NPCs.
I've played some other free to play adult games that you have to say you're over 18 to play.
Yeah, saying you're over 18 doesn't mean you are.
It's true.
And most of the time, what prevents that is the fact that you have to not only say you're over 18, but you got to come up with the cash. So that's pretty much what kept the audience there over age. Now that it's free to play, there's really nothing to stop them. There's got to be something.
I don't know. But this is, Second Life kind of overcame the whole age thing. So.
Yeah, but that's kind of, see, Second Life's a little different. You know, you can contain this stuff within an area. You know, literally you say over 18 and they have to verify their age with an ID. Keep that in mind. You cannot, in Second Life, if it's an adult area, if your account's not verified that you're an adult, as in they've got your ID number, your social security, whatever it is there you use to verify you're an adult, you can't go into those areas, you know, into discussion. They're not asking for anything with the free-to-play games. They're just kind of going, oh, go ahead and say here you're over 18, then we'll let you look at it. But how do you know? I don't want any kitties in my Fallen Earth. I'm telling you now. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you in there. I don't want to listen to you run around. I don't want you running, trying to level up and do quests, because the game didn't work that way anyway.
I don't think I don't think kids are going to want to play this anyways. It's not for...
Really, yeah, you might be right. Might be the content might make them shy away, but...
Yeah.
I just don't want
this to. Game is hard. It's no joke. It's not going to give it to you. You're going to work your tail off for it.
Yep. There will be none of this level grinding business.
No. They're going to make you work for it all the way.
Why does my voice sound like? My voice sounds like my name is Annie Mae and I'm serving tea at the church picnic. Oh, my God. Go away, frog in my throat. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, the fights are on for the Wii U.
Uh-oh.
Yes, all the publishers are trying to get the first mover advantage on the Wii U. It doesn't even have a release date yet, according to GamesIndustry.biz. But the biggest third-party games publishers are preparing to hit the ground running when Nintendo releases the Wii U next year. You got EA, you got Ubisoft, you got Sega that are all back in the system and the day that it releases without any hesitation. Take-Two is remaining cautious of the first new home console to hit the market since 2006. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot said that the publisher is now pledging new intellectual property for the system and is keen to see early adopter feedback on the new hardware. He says, we will announce one game that we want to launch day one that is a new type of game, which should be interesting. Still very important, just because you can test the market and see through the eyes of the first consumers. If it's the first consumers, they're the people that actually have the word-of-mouth factor, the trendsetters, he added. For EA, it's a gamble to go big on the day of release. For Games Label President Frank Gibeau is confident from previous form. He says it served us well on PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. Getting in early is partly about being a successful transition company and figuring out where the hardware is going to go. With the Wii U, it's important to us to get there on day one so we can get in and build as big an audience as possible. We've been doing this for 25 years, trying to pick platforms. More often than not, we get it right. I hope we have this one right. That's the gamble. He admitted, although some third parties were stung by dedicating separate resources to the Nintendo Wii and seeing poor return on investment, Sega West President Mike Hayes said that his company was confident a long-tail approach would pay off, even if day one was a daunting prospect. He says, at some point, we are the biggest, certainly top three third-party publishers on the Wii, so for us, it was a great platform. We've got absolutely no qualms about the Wii U. Mm-hmm. Okay, so since the recent launch of the 3DS highlighted how sluggish sales can be for Nintendo without one of its hit franchises such as Mario or Zelda, but again, Hayes is willing to play the long game. I just think we're a bit premature in being a bit glass half full on the 3DS. Everyone was clamoring, oh, please bring it out in March. You must bring it out. And then it's like you get to June and the sales aren't very good. Well, they haven't gotten the software yet. Carl Sadoff, who's the chief operating officer at Red Dead Redemption publisher Take-Two, was more cautious, suggesting his creative teams need to assess the hardware before committing to launch, and that's sensible. He says, for us, it's really about understanding what the hardware capabilities are. That's exactly my point. I've been arguing for years. And understanding how it's going to fit into what our goals are from the franchise creation perspective, really understanding what the platform can deliver and developing for that platform. So that's our philosophy, not just with the new Nintendo console, but across the board. Whether we're looking at 3DS or the PlayStation Vita or any other of the new formats that are coming out, we can't look at all of them the same way. We're not going to just port over, which is what we love about you, Take-Two. Porting games from established 360 and PS3 franchises is an opportunity now that Nintendo U is said to have comparable technology that will help keep costs low. Did we lose you, Ginger? It will also help keep costs lower than an entirely higher spec console. He says it doesn't increase costs very much because the advantage is being close to the other machines. You can do the game for all three formats at the same time. I don't think you should. I think Take-Two has a very good idea of not doing a port. Just make something completely different and completely new and different experience. That's lazy. But he also made it clear that Ubisoft is evaluating the Wii U for both new content and third location for existing franchises. Wow. So the controller is absolutely brilliant, is what they're saying. And we're going to have to think of innovative ways to use it. We're doing high-definition Sonics. We're obviously doing Aliens, Colonial Marines, so you can bring them across, and that's relatively low cost, which is the good news. Then you spend your money on how do you use the controller effectively to make it unique and differentiate it. Exactly. Yeah. I'm about taking all the money, not part. Oh, we can do it for all three platforms, and one will buy it. No, you need to make me buy it for all three platforms because the experience is so different on each platform. I must have it on all three. That's how you get rich, people. I'm just saying.
This is very true. This is very true.
I want to look at it in the store and go, oh, God, which one do I get first? because I know this one has this, and then this one has this, and this one has this. When I'm broke, I spend all my money on games and shoes because the shoe store is right next door.
Oh, shoes.
I bless the gods that put the shoe store next to the game store. It is just lovely.
Oh, where to spend the money? The games or the shoes?
Oh, that's easy. I go in first. I pick out the shoes. I put them on. Then I go in the game store and stand there and go, look at my shoes. They're pretty. Give me that game. And, ooh, look, my shoes are so nice. You see these shoes? You think they match my outfit? Give me that game, too. Put that on the camera.
I love you, Corey. You're flipping hilarious.
Thank you. I do try. Boy, I had my voice today. What's going on today?
I like your voice.
I sound like I'm just ancient, tired.
I wasn't thinking that, but all right. Okay, I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com. They pulled it from SMD News. Using games to teach about the perils of underage drinking.
Oh.
Hey, that's kind of cool. Five students from the sixth grade class at Milton M. Summers Middle School in Southern Maryland found themselves playing video games in school to learn about why underage drinking isn't all that cool. The game asked questions about healthy lifestyles and the dangers of underage drinking and provided moments of activity to keep things interesting. It was created by the Century Council at Arlington, Virginia-based nonprofit group funded by a group of distillers that includes Diego Bacardi and Brown Foreman. To play the game, five students tap their feet on a pad to make on-screen characters run and jump along a seaside path or down a supermarket aisle. The quicker they tap, the faster they ran in the game. The game pauses at times to ask a series of true or false questions, including whether drinking is cool, if alcohol enhances athleticism, or helps get better grades, and whether it was okay to say no to friends who pressure them to drink liquor. The activity was part of the Century Council's Ask, Listen, Learn, Kids and Alcohol Don't Mix initiative, which encourages middle school students to talk with their parents and role models about the perils of underage drinking. The play session was attended by former New York Congressman Susan Molinari, who chairs the council, and U.S. Representative Steny H. Hoyer. Hoyer says, "We need you healthy and sharp and at the top of your game, getting good grades and performing well and making America a greater country than it is even today." This is what Hoyer told students. The game will remain at the school for use in the future. I like the idea of telling kids, you know, you don't have to say yes. You don't need to cave to peer pressure. You can be different. You don't have to be a sheep.
I like what you call the sheep, Ginger.
Yes. But at the same time, I worry about how serious these kids take this kind of game and whether or not it just becomes
a way to get out of class.
Yes.
And we all remember those days. Would you like to go to the assembly? Yes, please. I'd like to go to the assembly.
I will sit through the two-hour boring assembly that I am nodding off asleep to, yes.
Because I forgot to study for my math test.
And that's exactly.
Sort of it. Well, I guess we'll find out if it works out. Good luck with that, people over there.
I was hoping more it was going to tell us something like they allowed them to play the games that mimic being drunk and that they could see how it affects them.
Well, they could play GTA and do that, see what happens when Nico's drunk, because there is a segment. Although they didn't look at that positively. Nobody did, that he got arrested if they saw him driving the car drunk in the game. It's a very small little message, but it was a good one. But parents still didn't like it. Well, he's driving drunk. Yes, but he gets arrested, and he hits people, and he goes to jail, and they beat him up when they pull him out of the car. This is what happens for real when you're drunk. So I
know I've seen the games where it actually mimics you being drunk and you're trying to drive or you're trying to walk and the screen's wobbling and it's blurry and you can't really see what you're doing.
That's GTA. Look it up on YouTube. It's exactly like that. You can't walk, period. I try not to, and you know what? I actually never let him drink after the first time I played that part in the game. It was very disorienting and I didn't like it. So that was a good lesson.
It's hard to run away if you're disorientated.
Yeah, it's hard to do bad stuff and run away. Yeah. It's hard to rob that bank and make a clean getaway. It really is. You can't drive the car straight. You're running into stuff. See how that works out? Yeah. So I'm
going to be a smart criminal.
it does take brains to be a criminal, although some people don't seem to think so. You have to be a smart criminal, too. I agree with you. They should have made it. They should have done a better job with the game. Maybe they need. We had so many people trying to jump into game development. They see the power that games have over kids, but they don't exactly know how to use the power to help at all.
No. And I'm afraid stuff like this will just make it worse than it will better.
Yeah, they'll think it's funny and go on about their business. So
yeah,
try again, teachers. Good try.
You got the right idea. I just think you're going about it just a little bit wrong.
Cut them. Okay, no, I mean, don't cut them. It's teachers. Oh, my friends that are teachers. I'm getting calls. What did you say? Did you say cut us? Girl, I'm sorry.
It was her, not me.
Oh, fine. Throw me in the bus.
I'm totally throwing you under that bus.
You and your tight necklace. You and your tight necklace. Oh, anyway. Well, you people over in London are in for a treat today because you get to meet Duke Nukem in person.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and if only my page didn't decide to log me out, I'd be able to tell you where. Okay, give me just a second here. Don't you love that happens? Okay. I'm ready to go. Okay, so you can win a holiday to Las Vegas as the Duke Nukem European Tour reaches London. All hail the king as he visits Westfield with his Hall of Hotness. Duke Nukem, of course, has been on a Europe conquering tour since May the 20th, hitting the continent in his custom-built Duke Nukem Forever Airstream trailer. I so want to see this. The king has been giving lucky fans hands-on time to enjoy the highly anticipated game, which shot straight to the top of the UK charts upon its release on June the 10th. 2K are very pleased to announce that Duke will be taking over Westfield Shopping Center, where members of the public with balls of steel can take part in Duke's. That's two times in this podcast this morning. You can take part in Duke's Hall of Hotness to be with a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas. We are out of order. You can check this particular link, www.boo-tube.eu, for more information and pictures of current entrants. This will be an all-day event, of course, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., so come and meet Duke, his girls, and keep an eye out for a few surprises. Hail to the king, baby.
Wait a minute. Back up. It just registered in my head. That was boob-tube, wasn't it?
That's right.
Nice.
Okay, and just so you guys know, those of you out there that are a little young and listen to the podcast, we can't stop you from listening, of course, but I will tell you this. There is an age rating. Duke Nukem Forever is rated 18 by the BBFC, and no one under 18 will be admitted to this particular event. And the UK Hall of Hotness competition does close on the 27th for those of you in the UK planning to enter. So you little kiddies under 18, you stay home.
Yep.
I don't care if your big brother's 18 and you're 17, stay home. Tell him to tell you about it when he comes home. I would say big sister. Well, some of you might have sisters. We're not judging. They want to go and check out the chicks. We're not judging. Leave your little sisters at home or your little brothers if they're under the age of 18. I'm sorry. You cannot step and go. Now, I'm checking out the boob tube. This is actually pretty hilarious. And I know you guys are expecting us to just completely stomp on Duke Nukem, but this is one of those times where we know exactly what you're getting into, ladies, if you pick this one up. So, and Duke Nukem is Duke Nukem. I don't expect him to be any different. His character is a sexist, you know. All kinds of things.
Yeah, Duke is Duke.
Yeah, and it is 2K Games, and these are the same people that give you work with Rockstar and do all kinds of crazy, edgy stuff. So we're not mad at Duke. We just know this is probably not a game we would enjoy playing. Or we might. It's kind of funny. It might be hilarious. I had a good time posing with the security guard at PAX. I should have sat in his lap. Anyway, I was behaving, okay? I'm just saying. I was behaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was. I did not sit in his lap, although I was urged to do so at the Duke Nukem booth.
Very nice. Very nice.
But I was good. While people were looking. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'm going to pull my next story from GamePolitics.com this morning. Research finds puzzle games improve working memory. New research from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and recently reported in Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences reveals that puzzle-based video games that exercise working memory can improve abstract reasoning and problem-solving skills in children. The research also revealed that these improvements have a residual effect for at least 3 months after participants stopped playing the game. That is pretty awesome.
Mm.
Psychologist Susan M. Jaggi, I hope I said your name right, PhD, and a team of researchers were trying to determine the effects video games might have on the brain. The study used 62 elementary and middle school children. 32 were trained for 15 minutes 5 times a week for a month using a computerized task, while the other 30 practiced general knowledge and vocabulary tasks. The video games tested working memory, or the brain's ability to hold information while solving a problem. The working memory games required subjects to remember a sequence of positions on a grid, recognize the pattern, and respond to questions. Each successfully completed sequence was followed by a longer one. The games required concentration for over a minute, and participants had to be able to block out distractions while concentrating on a single task. The researchers found that the children who had been involved in the brain training games had what they called clear improvements in abstract reasoning and problem solving. These improvements persisted for 3 months after the training stopped. We propose that future research should not investigate whether cognitive training works, but rather should determine that training regimens and what training conditions result in the best transfer effects. Investigate the underlying neural and cognitive mechanisms, and finally investigate for whom cognitive training is most useful. Children with good working memory have an easier time remembering teachers' instructions, find focusing on classroom tasks easier, and are not easily distracted, according to the authors. You know, that's actually kind of cool. I like that. I'm so glad to hear that we're doing studies that actually show, you know, some gaming will help.
Well, I'm not understanding why they needed to do this. Brain Age came out, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and it actually tests and monitors your progress, how sharp your brain is in thinking, so they could have just, you know, I don't know. Sometimes there's a lot of redundant testing going on as far as games go, so mm-hmm. I'm not understanding. Brain Age, obviously, very obviously, if anyone's ever played it, every time you open it up, it tells you what time was the last time you played, how much better it notices you do in the mornings versus the evening, how long was the last time you were on, what's your mental age for today. Actually, the Wii Fit does it. You've played Wii Fit. You know, it tells you what's your age for the day, your body's age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does the same thing with the brain.
Okay. Nice.
So they could have just saved a little bit of money. DS and Brain Age 2, and I love Brain Age 2. Not that I'm advocating drinking, but it is fun to see whose brain does slow down immensely when they've been drinking. Brain Age, you do the math portion. It's just simple addition, and the loser takes a shot. Yeah, that's funny.
Just, wow.
That's funny, trying to see people add 5 plus 2 and they can't write it properly. Or they can't. Yeah, because you have to write the answer. You can't just type it in. You got to write it.
That is hilarious.
Again, grown-up girl games now. Again, and when you don't have to drive, I want to say that. Not when you have to drive home, and only for big girls out there. But it is a fun thing to do when you have a big girl.
Only for big girls.
Yeah. Big girl sleepover parties. I haven't had one of those in a while. I think it's time.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
You do that. You do that. Because it is too damn hot for this many bodies in this house. No. I will kill all of you, and I'll get away with it because of the heat.
No, don't kill me. Don't kill me.
It's too hot. All right, Jen, what you got? What you got?
I just read one.
Oh, it's my turn. Is it?
It's your turn.
Right, I told you it was hot. I can't even say. Oh, it's hot. Oh, God, I'm dying. Somebody bring me some ice. Anybody in the Houston area want to bring me some ice? No?
No ice for you.
Be that way. Fine, then. Well,
I know. I'm horrible, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Well, I'm trying to find something interesting because a lot of this news is very overly business-oriented that we have, which is interesting to some of you, but not all the time.
No, not all the time. Sometimes.
Well, I do want to tell you about this. Microvolts. You heard us talk about that game before.
Yes, that game is hilarious.
Yes. Well, it says it's energizing gamers its first week out of the box. Rock Hippo Productions Limited announced today that the online cartoon-style third-person action shooter Microvolts, which officially launched 1 week ago, has enjoyed a hugely successful launch with a rapidly growing player base.
glowing player and critical reviews, and over 31,000 Facebook fans and more. The company is celebrating its first week with the release of new official wallpaper events, prizes, and more. The game, of course, is now available for free at microvolts.com. They're saying they're very thrilled with the official launch of the game. We're seeing our player base grow in leaps and bounds and are getting great feedback from our MicroVolts community. This is from Howard He, who's the president and CEO of Rock Hippo Productions. He says, our player's characters are already sporting many kinds of new released items, such as Naomi's cupcake dress and Nox's skeleton jacket, and arming themselves with new weapons such as the Mimic Grenade Launcher and the Daredev Gatling Gun. MicroVolters from all over the world are continuing to wage their secret war in the new map, the studio, and all of this is just the beginning. To thank the growing community for help making the game a success in its first week, Rock Hippo Productions has released an official MicroVolts wallpaper to commemorate the successful launch. Wow, I forget people still make wallpapers. Does anybody actually use those? Let us know if you do out there.
I do with my favorite comic.
I think that trend lasted for a couple of weeks for me, and then I just stopped doing it. Players, of course, can download the official wallpaper showing Naomi, Nox, Pandora, and Chip in action at microvolts.com. And, of course, let me run down a few features for you. They do have a clan feature, which has boosted the competitive spirit among the players already. There's already over 1,000 clans created. In the new clan hall, players can now create or manage their clans. They can also request membership into coveted clans or recruit elite members into their ranks. Players ultimately compare in-game with other clans for domination of the micro world and placement in the clan leadership leaderboard. That'll be relaunched tomorrow on June 17th, tomorrow, Friday, along with some other clan updates. They also have shops, so the players are enjoying the newly launched web and in-game shop and all access to exclusive items that this feature grants them. MicroVolts also plans to continue to expand its payment options and availability to more countries to better support the ever-growing community. You also have a tournament. The players are amped up for the Free Hippo Free-for-All Tournament. This is going to be on this Saturday, June the 18th. Prizes include up to 135K micro points or volt points or whatever, and a hippo-in-style costume set. All right, so in case you're not familiar with the game, it is a third-person shooter, pits players against each other in secret battle. That's why Ginger loves it. She loves to shoot people.
Yes, I do love to shoot people so much, though. Love to shoot people.
And they're saying, of course, pits players against each other in a secret battle that's been waging and going on unnoticed right in our own backyard for years. They're saying no one knows for sure when or where the first toy declared war, but rumors has it that the uprising began with four original limited edition figures codenamed MicroVolts. Battle lines were drawn when Naomi, Nox, Pandora, and Chip, the prototypes, were soon joined by an endless number of modified versions, which would be you. All you have to do now is stay out of their way and wait for the champion to be declared. Again, you can check this out at microvolts.com. It is free to play, free.
Yes, we love free-to-play games.
That's right. No money out of my pockets. Oh, it's time for breaks. It's time for breaks.
It is time for breaks. What are you going to play us, Corey?
I don't know. I'm so...
I think we need Miss Pac-Man.
No, I don't think so.
No Miss Pac-Man?
I don't think so. I think you're addicted to Miss Pac-Man.
I'm so addicted to Miss Pac-Man. Yes, there's my song. Yay!
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
Remember, you can find this news and other news, as always, at our website, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com. We'll be on later tonight, of course. This is our Thursday This Week in Gaming, talking about some stuff. We will see you guys back here in a bit. We're going to the non-streaming portion.
I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghost will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be Miss Pac-Man, and that is why I love you.
Oh, no.
I'm in love with you, Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you, Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm gonna love you so, from your big round bottom to the top of your boat.
And we are back. with 48 Seconds Live. That song was going out to the necklace holder from the Too Tight Necklace Girl.
Oh, she's going to cut me after the show.
Cut you to the white meat, girl. To the white meat.
Oh. Catch me first.
That's fine. Like, you know, we talked about zombies yesterday. Just got to shoot you in the knee.
Oh, I'm going to have to invent some kind of knee armor now. Chain mail knee armor. I don't know what. Oh, you know what I forgot to tell the lovely people? Miss Ginger will be off tomorrow. She's going out to get her necklace refitted. So... So we'll have some, we'll have one of these other, a Blaster or a Snow to sit in. They're both saying that they want to sit in. So if they're both here, this can be real interesting tomorrow morning. Ginger, you make sure you listen from afar.
I'm gonna have to. Actually, I'll be in the office at that point. So yeah.
You should turn on your Xperia and just hold it up. Hi, this is where I'm from.
Chelsea, you don't want to make me wait in the waiting room.
Yes.
You know who I am.
Yes. You have to snap when you say that and do the whole neck thing. You know who I am.
Exactly.
I will Twitter about you and you will cease to exist. No. You know, actually, I think that where you're going would care. But if it was a big, big company, yeah. Yeah.
They'd be like, so?
Like, so? People still going to come see us? Whatever. Yeah. The Pizza Hut? Or like Domino's, they did not want me to Twitter about the fact that they did me horrible a couple months ago. They were like, please don't Twitter. Please, ma'am, don't do that. Look at I'm saying it anyway. Yes, you did me badly. I don't appreciate being treated that way. My burned pizza with no cheese, and you swear it was my fault. It was not my fault. Anyway, Ginger?
All right, it's my turn again, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
All right. Sega and Three Rings Spiral Knights gets Steam-powered. Free online action adventure now available on the Premier Digital Distribution Platform.
Ooh!
Sega of America Incorporated and Sega Europe Ltd. have announced that Spiral Knights is now available for download on Steam, the top digital distribution platform worldwide. The retro-styled online action adventure game now offers the benefits of Steam's robust community and technical features, while still remaining free for players everywhere. To download the game on Steam and start diving into the clockworks of Cradle today on PC and Mac, you can visit the Steam Store, which is store.steampowered.com. Who wrote this? Haruki Satomi, a vice president of digital business at Sega of America, says, joining the prestigious library of games on Steam doesn't just mean that Spiral Knights is now available to a wider audience, but also that players now have the added support of a fantastic, deeply established gaming community. We know the millions of new adventurers who can now easily access the game through Steam will enjoy it every bit as much as our existing players do. A game with strong cooperative and social elements, like Spiral Knights, is, put simply, a great fit for Steam. This is coming from Daniel James, CEO of Three Rings. Beyond the convenience of automatic game updates and easy energy purchases through Steam, our players will be able to enjoy their time in the clockworks with their existing friends list. With their existing friends list members. I don't know why I tripped over that. Aided by built-in voice chat and instant messaging. Spiral Knights pits players against the creatures of Cradle, where they must fight to survive by scavenging materials from the ever-changing dungeons beneath the surface. They even give me some game features. A constantly changing world brought to life in a vibrant retro. A constantly changing world brought to life in a vibrant retro-inspired visual style, intuitive pick-up and play controls, including both mouse-only and gamepad control, opportunities for players to create guilds, craft new gear, and customize the looks and abilities of their characters, easy matchmaking for co-op mayhem with parties for up to 4 players, gear and weapons upgradable through adventuring or through the purchase of Crystal Energy. Players who downloaded Spiral Knights on Steam today, June 15th, will also receive a one-of-a-kind Spiral Knight helm wearable by the Soldier Quest in Team Fortress 2. To find out more about this red and blue ready headgear today, as well as the official Spiral Knight Steam Starter Pack, head over to the Steam Store, which again is store.steampowered.com. Yay! And I've also got some screenshots up on the website, so gamenatrix.com. Go over there and check that out.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay.
Yay.
Well,
did you talk about the LA Noir? Is that up? Is that ready to go?
I did not. Was there an LA Noir?
There is LA Noir, and they lifted the embargo. So,
very nice.
It won't show until about 5 p.m. probably. On the West Coast time, I'm going to say. But we can tell you about it, and we'll put it up. You just keep checking back. But it'll be blocked off until then, we believe. But this afternoon at 5, they said they're pleased to unveil, and we'll be unveiling it as well. I'll try to make sure I Twitter that for you, because I'm excited. Unveil the brand new trailer detailing the next DLC case for L.A. Noire, Nicholson Electroplating. When a devastating explosion at the Nicholson Electroplating plant rocks downtown Los Angeles, arson detectives Phelps and Biggs are called to the scene. Was this just a tragic accident or something more sinister at play?
Sinister play.
Remember yesterday we did tell you to buy these points, right? We warned you. Okay, so you can watch a new trailer for the upcoming Nicholson Electroplating arson case. Will be available for download on the 21st via the PlayStation Network for £3.9, whatever, on Xbox Live for 320 MS points. And also at the Rockstar Games website, or you can visit the LA Noir official site as well. We also have some video, which, again, we'll be posting for you, but it will most likely not load when we post it until right at 5 o'clock, so you can keep checking back. But it is there. If it is loading, we'll have it. this is the first LA Noir DLC case. And again, coming the 21st of this month, and it's going to give all the intrepid detectives out there eager to get back on the job another juicy case to crack. I love juicy. The story, of course, yes. And the story is inspired by an incident that is quite unlike the relatively obscure crimes that inspired most of the other cases in the game and was a major national headline back in 1947 in Los Angeles. Beyond just the name of the plant being changed in their fictionalized interactive version, changed from O'Connor to Nicholson in a direct nod to guess who?
Jack Nicholson. Ooh.
Also, there's a ton of intrigue, twists and turns far beyond what the investigators discovered in the real case, which was much more straightforward, if shocking and embarrassing to the plant's executives. Okay, here's the rundown. On Friday morning of February the 20th, 1947, the O'Connor electroplanting plate at 926 East Pico Boulevard in downtown Los Angeles erupted in a terrific explosion that rocked the city for miles around. The mushroom-shaped cloud that formed over the area led many to initially panic with the thought of a nuclear bomb having dropped on L.A. News reports told of planes 10 miles away that were said to have felt the shudder, and of neighboring buildings' windows that shattered for blocks around. In all, 151 people were injured and 15 were killed, the casualties ranging from innocent pedestrians, including a 12-year-old boy riding his bike two blocks away, was struck by a stray pipe from the blast, to the very person inside who the police concluded was responsible for the disaster. The man who would become the primary person of interest in this case was the plant's chief chemist, Robert McGee. McGee had attained his position by impressing plant executive Robert O'Connor during an interview with his weighty credentials. He had a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Indiana, a Master's degree from the University of Pittsburgh, a PhD from MIT, as well as a graduate credit from Caltech. Ooh, nerdy and hot, but crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And with his presence...
crazy, what's with that?
Yes. With this presentation of a remarkable new chemical compound, he'd created a special blend of a perchloric acid, I hope I'm saying that right, that could plate aluminum to gleam like silver without the costly expense of polishing and buffing process. So O'Connor was sold. McGee and his magical new metallurgic formula would be the secret weapon to revitalize the business and give them a clear edge over the competition. And, of course, on that fateful morning, February, McGee was practically evaporated along with his assistants in the blast, and O'Connor truly learned that all that gleams is not gold. Now, this is a rundown of the story. Now, and there's more to it, of course, which we'll post. I'm reading all this to you because you know they're going to tie this into the game. And what I read to you was historically correct. It's not part of the game, but they based this particular DLC on this. So hope you were paying attention, boys and girls. And let us know if you need any more help solving the case. We haven't played it yet, but we got all the goods. We know all the secrets. And, again, keep an eye out on our site. I will be posting up the LA Noir
trailer for you guys to watch. It'll be live at 5 p.m., they say. But 5 p.m. for us is what? From they're not saying which 5. I need which time zone.
Yeah, yeah. Which you know, is that 5 p.m. our time? Is it Central? Is it Eastern?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to harass. I think I got. Yeah, I got somebody to contact here.
Corey's gonna harass you. Y'all are in trouble now.
Well, just our people want to know what time they can see it. Some of you out there are hardcore LA noir, and I understand why. I'm usually not a mystery kind of girl, but I would get just deep into this because it's Rockstar. They do. They do what they do, and I just fall in love. Oh, I love you.
Yes, yes, we do. We just totally fall in love with them.
Want to kisses and smooches. Oh.
Sitting in their lap. And...
Yes. Oh, it's hot. Okay, so Ginger, we got time for one, maybe two more. Two God.
Yeah, maybe two more. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Ooh, I like the title of that already.
Mm-hmm. Runes of Magic, Chapter 4, Lands of Despair, officially released today. The anticipated fourth chapter of the successful online role-playing game, Runes of Magic, launches today. Amongst a range of other new additions, Lands of Despair introduces four fantastic new regions, featuring never-before-seen opponents and dungeons to challenge players both old and new. Runes of Magic with the updated client is available for free, downloaded from the official website at runesofmagic.com. Accompanying the release of Chapter 4, Lands of Despair, is a new trailer shedding more light on the impending doom threatening Taboria. Demon Sismond, a mysterious new force of evil in the land, has wrought pestilence and disease upon the citizens of Taboria, and only by uncovering Sismond's true motives will the land be rescued from imminent destruction. And I do believe I actually put the trailer up on GameAndMatrix.com, so head over there and check that out. So starting today, players can also take part in an exciting community event. Participants in the Sight Theme contest have a chance to win valuable prizes, including a Logitech gaming mice and item packages. What's new in Chapter 4? Free choice of third class, 4 expansive new regions, a level cap raised to 67, over 300 challenging new quests, additional storage capacity for mounts and pets, 2 demanding new instances, server-wide battlefields, new runes, and new public encounters. So again, if you want to check out Runes of Magic and their new chapter, you can head over to runesofmagic.com.
Yay!
Yay!
GLaDOS! Ah, that reminds me. Well, we're getting ready to go, but I do want to tell you guys, we have one of the most amazing interviews you will have ever experienced. Miss Ginger there managed to catch up with GLaDOS. I won't tell you where or how, but I'll tell you there is an interview coming, and this is one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen.
GLaDOS is awesome. I love GLaDOS.
She got to interview GLaDOS, so keep an eye out for that. We'll make sure we tweet you as soon as we can catch GLaDOS again, because apparently last night she scared Ginger, and then she decided to leave. She tried to scare Ginger. We're just all enamored with her. Speak again, GLaDOS. We want to follow you.
I know. I was like, no, keep talking. Keep telling me about this.
I like when she's talking about the nitrous gas. Yeah, that was funny. People are like...
neurotoxin.
No, neurotoxin, yes. I love her. Okay, so guys, we are out of here. Say goodbye to Ginger. Tell her to have a wonderful weekend. We will miss you, the Gingers. We will miss you tomorrow. Your perky voice.
I know. I won't be here. I wish I were. I really don't want to have to drive in the car for that long.
Aw, we'll be with you in spirit. Play lots of games. And remember to lift the phone up every once in a while so your neck don't get stiff, because you know how you're staring down at the game. Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. We
Mm-hmm. No, I gotta drive, so I won't be doing that.
Oh, that's not good. No chauffeur?
No chauffeur.
Oh, that's cutting that needs to be done involved in that. Mm.
No chauffeur. I go. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna play your song, but I'm superstitious, so I'm not gonna play that one. So, we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Oh, I will anyway. Me and one of those other two, or two of those other two. And we love you. Well, apparently GLaDOS is trying to take over the...
GLaDOS. It's okay, GLaDOS. I'll come talk to you in a second, GLaDOS.
Oh, my God. She really wants... Wow. You know what, Ginger? Say goodbye to the people so we can get GLaDOS off of here.
Goodbye, boys and girls.